There are some 1,000 waste incinerator landfills across the country, many built in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, and sited in marshes and estuaries, then seen as a good spot to dump trash since they were useless for housing or farming. Landfills that take toxic fly ash from waste incinerators wouldn't be approved there today since we understand how critical wetlands are as wildlife habitat and buffers from coastal storms. But many have been grandfathered in, including a 1950s landfill in Saugus, Massachusetts, slated for closure in 1996, but still operating. Now the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection has given the green light to allow an additional 500,000 tons of carcinogenic fly ash and bottom ash to be dumped there. It's a leaky, unlined landfill sitting in an estuary in an area prone to flooding. Living on Earth's Bobby Bascom has our story.
In the first week of March 2018, when the moon was full, a nor'easter dumped torrential rains on the coast north of Boston, and each high tide brought a new round of flooding for communities there. Revere resident Kelly Lampadecchio shares videos of the flooding in her neighborhood on Facebook.
Okay, we're at high tide.
The water is ankle deep in her backyard, and out front, the street is completely submerged, and water creeps up the front steps towards her door. Every house on the street is sitting in water.
Guardrail is completely gone. That's a dock that floated over from Boatyard. The neighborhood has totally disappeared.
It's a lot of water, but Sandra Hurley Jukes and other residents of Revere say they're used to flooding here.
When we get a flood tide here, this house becomes an island. And it happens, I'm going to say, 5 to 7 times a year.
Sandra called me during the storm from her mom's house, which sits on a narrow spit of land between Rumney Marsh and Massachusetts Bay, the Atlantic Ocean. She says 3 generations of her family have lived here in the house her grandfather built.
It's a beautiful estuary. We have all kinds of birds that nest here. We have turtles. We have sails that come in the river. I mean, it's beachfront property. It just comes with the downfall of having a trash incinerator across the street.
That trash incinerator and the landfill next to it belong to a company named Wheelabrator Technologies. They own more than a dozen waste facilities across the country.
When the tide comes in and we get these flood tides, the landfill and Wheelabrator become an island also. They're cut off from land. It's water on both sides. So the water is literally lapping right up on the landfill itself.
And it's the landfill that really concerns local residents like Sandra. It's the repository for fly ash and bottom ash. That's the material that doesn't actually burn up during waste incineration. It contains a cocktail of heavy metals and toxic chemicals, mercury, cadmium, arsenic, lead, and dioxins. For every 4 tons of trash burned, 1 ton of ash is left behind, and it has to go somewhere. Elaine Hurley, Sandra's mother, stands in a restaurant parking lot in Revere overlooking the landfill. Revere and the surrounding cities are working-class industrial communities. Elaine says she remembers back before there were scrubbers on the incinerator when all the toxic chemicals went out the smokestack and straight into the air, a stone's throw from her home.
When they started burning, the fly ash would come in my house. On the windowsills, it was like a black soot all the time, and you run your finger and it was like greasy. I actually ate the paint off the side of my car that was parked towards it.
Elaine Hurley says she's relieved to have cleaner air, but concerned about what the chemicals that ate the paint off her car could do to the marsh if they leach out of the landfill.
We've gone over there, we've videotaped the marsh where the water leaches out. No vegetation, it's dead, all dead. So what's the effects on the fish? You know, what's the effects on the ducks?
The landfill sits literally inside the Rumney Marsh, which was declared an area of critical environmental concern in 1988. It's a vitally important habitat for local and migrating species, an oasis in an industrial area. Planes leaving Logan Airport fly over every 2 to 3 minutes. A busy highway borders the estuary on one side, and it's surrounded by development on the other sides, houses, gas stations, dry cleaners, and so on. Joan LeBlanc of the Saugus River Watershed Council stands behind a Dunkin' Donuts next to a pile of lobster traps and looks out at the estuary.
In the spring, when the fish come in, the rainbow smelt, alewives, and all sorts of other fish that come in from the ocean to feed and to migrate. In the summertime, you're going to see all manner of shorebirds as well as migrating birds. So great blue herons, snowy egrets, there are also mammals. You have river otter, you have musk, coyotes even sometimes.
She says any chemical contaminants in the marsh will bioaccumulate up the food chain to eventually contaminate more species, including humans that eat fish.
These are the types of issues that keep me up at night.
Research suggests that by the end of the century, there will be 1.5 to 2 feet of sea level rise in this area. Joan LeBlanc says sea level rise, coupled with frequent coastal storms, makes the incinerator landfill particularly vulnerable.
So, yes, we are really concerned about the future. And if there were some kind of a major breach in a storm here with this ash landfill, and that were to empty into the marsh, I don't know how or if you would be able to clean that up.
Most of the landfill is currently capped, and from afar looks like a grassy hill. There's even a bird sanctuary on part of it. But the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection recently gave the green light for Wheelabrator to tear the cap off 39 acres of the facility, so they can dump roughly 500,000 tons of additional incinerator waste into two valleys, originally designed for stormwater runoff. Kirsty Petchy is director of the Zero Waste Project with the Conservation Law Foundation. She says the MassDEP decision to expand the capacity of the landfill is especially egregious because the landfill doesn't have a plastic liner.
Here, there just happens to be clay because when you dig a hole in a marsh, you're going to hit clay. There was not a clay liner constructed, as far as I can tell, ever.
The landfill, built in the 1950s, predates the federal law that requires such facilities to have a proper plastic liner. But Petchy says even if it did have a plastic liner, it would likely still leak.
Because the waste is caustic. That's going to eat through a plastic liner or poke through a plastic liner sooner or later. So even if this were plastic lined, I'd say we need to be testing what's escaping the landfill.
And that's another controversial point. This is the only incinerator landfill in Massachusetts where the state does not routinely sample groundwater as required by federal law. Petchy of the Conservation Law Foundation says Wheelabrator's own graphs show that the bottom of the landfill is actually resting in water.
So there's no way to keep the contamination from entering the marsh because it's in the water. That's by definition, it's going to spread through the water.
To find out why they aren't testing the groundwater, as the law requires, I made many requests to speak to Wheelabrator facilities, the Massachusetts Governor's Office, and the Massachusetts DEP, Department of Environmental Protection. They all turned me down. The DEP suggested I talk to the Environmental Protection Agency, Region 1, which oversees Massachusetts, but the EPA referred me back to MassDEP. In an email, Ed Coletta, a spokesman for MassDEP, explained that instead of taking water samples near the facility, they rely on a slurry wall to contain the landfill. They measure the pressure both inside and outside the wall with an instrument called a piezometer. As long as the pressure is higher outside the wall than inside, they assume any leachate is contained inside the landfill. But resident Sandra Hurley-Jukes says that's no substitute for actually taking water samples near the facility.
I think they're not taking them because they don't want to know.
Other residents, like Elle Baker, are frustrated. The Wheelabrator spends lavishly to buy goodwill in the community, but won't pay for groundwater samples or an environmental impact report.
If they're willing to write checks for Little League, for tree lighting, for other things like this in the community, why not for an environmental impact report? Because that is truly being a good neighbor. That's truly proving to us, the community, that maybe it's not as dangerous. But they don't want that to happen. They don't want to provide that to the community, and that is what's concerning.
The only official willing to speak to me about this issue was State Representative Rose Lee Vincent.
I'm determined to make sure that we do whatever we can to, you know, stop this and justice.
Representative Vincent has introduced legislation to close the Wheelabrator landfill twice.
It's wrong. It's just so wrong, and how anyone can look at it and not think it's wrong. Instead of realizing, okay, it was wrong, but now we can try to do something to fix it. Let's try to mitigate and make it safe. What they want to do, though, is make it bigger. They don't want to make it safe.
Vincent says she's worried about the potential health effects on the community where four generations of her family have lived, where she raised her own children.
My children don't live here, but someone's children live here now. But it's not about just my children. It's about everyone's children. Someday, some kids should be able to go fishing in that water.
Because water samples aren't taken, there's no way to know what chemical pollutants or how much might be leaking into the estuary from the landfill. But scientists like George Thurston know what they would expect. Thurston directs the Program in Exposure Assessment and Human Health Effects at the NYU School of Medicine. He's also served on the National Academy of Sciences Committee on Health Effects of Waste Incineration.
Our committee, when we looked at this for the National Academy of Sciences, identified cadmium, arsenic, mercury, and lead as some of the components of the particles that were of most health concern.
He says exposure to these types of pollutants can have serious health effects over time.
Cumulative long-term exposures can increase risk of cancer.
According to the Massachusetts Cancer Registry, the communities near the facility do have elevated rates of certain cancers, including leukemia, testicular cancer, and cancer of the larynx. George Thurston says that's all the more reason to be careful when permitting more potential exposures. And opening up a capped landfill is inherently more dangerous than leaving the facility closed.
But I would say anytime you open up one of these capped facilities, then that would increase the risk of some sort of an accident and getting a release. The biggest concerns are when things don't go as they should. You need continuous monitoring to determine that.
Thurston has another practical piece of advice. Avoid the problem to begin with.
Well, my input on this would be to try and minimize the trash in the first place. And that's by emphasizing recycling and composting. We can really reduce the waste in our society tremendously, make the facility basically obsolete and unnecessary. I mean, that's, as a society, that's what we should be trying to do.
Wheelabrator burns roughly 123,000 tons of municipal waste annually from 10 Massachusetts communities. The company estimates that roughly 80% of the trash could actually be recycled or composted. So consumers have a role in reducing the need for trash incinerators and their landfills. But for now, incinerators continue to burn up our waste, and Wheelabrator has the go-ahead to uncap the Saugus landfill and add more toxic ash. Community and environmental groups opposed to the DEP's decision say all options are on the table to stop that from happening, including appealing the decision in court. For Living on Earth, I'm Bobby Bascom in Saugus, Massachusetts.